right. Welcome to Story Chats at Inspi Romance. I'm Elizabeth Madry, and I'm here with my two co-hosts.
Narelle Atkins.
And I'm Valerie Comer.
Today, we're talking all things Christmas romance. So reading Christmas books, writing them, watching Christmas romance movies, you name it, we're going to talk about it because it is the season. I guess I should say tis the season. So I thought, because we're book lovers, we're going to start with Christmas romances that we're reading. So I have a couple questions that maybe we'll just take in turn. Does that sound fun? All right. So
Yes. First
up is, because this is one that people ask, I see it all the time, and it's fun to see the answers. When do you start reading Christmas books? Narelle, when do you start reading Christmas books?
Well, usually December, but I will read Christmas books all year round.
Okay, no, that's good.
Tell you why, because I mean, we don't have snow. We have summer and heat, and I mean, we're filming this now and it's going to be 39 degrees today and tomorrow, and it's really hot because we're heading into summer here. So summer is different to the typical.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, 39 Celsius. I was going to skip over to Google to translate that into
100 something. Yeah, 100 and something. So hot. Yeah, it's hot. So 102, is it? 102. Yeah, well, we're under 40, so that's exciting. Hopefully it stays under 40. I'm not a massive fan of hot weather. Although if it's hot and dry, I can cope. Hot and humid is not so fun. Yeah, so anyway, so summer is hot weather for us. So what reading about snow and white Christmas is just, I just love the whole Christmas movie thing because we don't get snow. Not much snow where I live, maybe one fall a year if we're lucky, and if it stays on the ground we're even luckier. So snow's pretty exciting to us, and Christmas with snow is even more exciting. So as an Aussie, I really enjoy Christmas books, Christmas movies, and I will read them in July, which is Christmas in July in Australia.
True Yeah,
that's in your cold season.
Yes,
but still no snow.
Not usually, but that's okay. You can have problems with snow, so not having snow is not necessarily a bad thing.
All right, Valerie, what about you?
I start buying them usually in July when we start running the Christmas in July sales. Sure. And then I stockpile them. And somewhere in about October, November, I kind of go, how many do I have to read? About when do I need to start? You know? So last year I had more than this year. So I started about mid-October and then I ran out just before Christmas. And that was really, really sad. I had to go buy a couple more.
Darn.
I know. It was rough.
First world problems.
Right.
So, well, thankful for ebooks, right? Because yes. You can just do that at, 10:30 at night when you realize that that you've got a problem. You can aid and abet your problem very easily at that point. Usually by early to mid-November anyway, definitely by December. So how about you, Elizabeth?
So I'm a weird reader. I tend to read things when I buy them. The idea of stockpiling books to read seasonally, just, I don't get that. So I will read a Christmas book whenever it strikes my fancy that it's something that I'd like to read. So I have been trying this year to do a little better and read some now. Honestly, because we said we were going to talk about Christmas books, I was like, oh, I should read some. I need to have something to talk about. Yeah, I don't tend to seek them out. They have, like, I don't read them simply because they're Christmas books and I must read all the Christmas books. I read any book, Christmas or not, because it sounded interesting to me, basically. So
yeah,
that's,
I agree with that.
Yeah. So I read them when I find one that's interesting to me.
How about length? What length do you enjoy in a Christmas book? Is it different than the rest of the book? I guess it isn't if you're reading them whenever through the year.
For me, I don't necessarily care about length as long as the story is complete. Mm-hmm. I don't mind a novella if it's got a really solid story that has all the things that I'm expecting in my romance. And it doesn't feel rushed at the end, which, I mean, I've read books that are 300 pages long that still sometimes feel rushed at the end because it's like the author got so excited in the middle and was having so much fun. And then it was like, oh, I should end this. It's like, what just happened? Don't do that. So it's not just short novels that have, or short novellas that have that problem. So as long as the story is complete, I'm happy. What about you, Narelle?
Well, I find December's also the end of our school year. So it's just a really busy time, November, December. So I really like novellas and sort of short story length, just for something quick to read when I'm running around doing other stuff, basically. I'm not curled up at home in winter under a doona or anything like that. So it's too hot. We're trying to find air conditioning at that time of year. So, yeah, so I prefer short. Though that said, if someone wrote a really good full-length Christmas book, that would not stop me reading at the length.
What about
if
you,
I'm into the story, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I tend to like shorter ones this time of year too, and I can't figure out why. Because when you pack in all the Christmas stuff as well as all the romance stuff, it seems like you should be able to go twice as long and have it all be just perfect at the other end.
But, do you think it's because you're busier? It's because it's just like, I mean, with school ending for Narelle and Christmas on top of it, that is a very busy time. Do you think that that factors in?
Definitely. I think it's definitely seasonal. So would you be doing a lot of reading in May, June? That's the equivalent.
I do.
Christmas?
My world is so unusual. I mean, because we homeschool, so I have, school can end when I want to, basically. And I don't have all the end of school programs and awards ceremonies and that sort of thing. Because I mean, I have a school size of two. So we don't have the same, and we've got church stuff like end of the year, but not on top of all the public school stuff as well. So my reading, I mean, I think I'm reading right now my 219th book for this year. So I read a lot all the time.
I see your dog drop, Narelle. I know she's faster than anyone I know.
I would not have time to read 219 books unless I stopped sleeping. Like, honestly, I just could not fit that in. But I would love to do that. I would love to have more reading time. That's one thing that one of my wish lists for, if the day could be more than 24 hours, what would I add in? And it would be reading.
That's fair.
I think I read a similar amount year round. So for me, the length of the Christmas books doesn't make a difference as to for that, because I usually read for 45 minutes to an hour every evening just before bed. And we're empty nesters. So a kid's school year doesn't affect us a whole lot, although we do have some grandkids. So the time of year actually that I read the most is in summer when we're camping. So we tend to be way out in the bush, and there is no internet to distract me. And so I will just like open my Kindle, and that's when I'll often select some of the really long ones or something a little off genre that I've been meaning to get to but haven't quite got to. And then I'll just like sit by the creek and read for like 6 hours straight and get through it.
That sounds so good.
That's like heaven. Wonderful. Right there. A day of uninterrupted reading.
Your day.
Right, so will come. With your, oh, go ahead. Sorry. Say it again.
Your day will come.
Yes. Yeah. With your Christmas books, is there anything that you absolutely have to see in them for them to be a satisfying Christmas read?
It has to have snow.
Snow. Okay. Under, I was like,
oh. No, it doesn't have to have snow. It's not necessarily for me, I love snow in books, but I also enjoy having no snow, because no snow is my experience. I mean, on Christmas Day when I was younger, when I was a teenager, my cousins and I, we'd all have a big family lunch, and then we'd go across the road to a beach on the Northern Beaches in Sydney, Long Reef Beach, and go for a swim in the ocean on Christmas afternoon. So that's just such a different experience to reading a book with snow. So I'd love to see someone having a swim in the ocean on Christmas Day. Yeah, but I might have to write that book myself for it to happen.
Yeah, me too.
I know that you and some other authors that I know have written books that take place, well, yours takes place in Australia, your Christmas novel, but some that just take place like in Florida or something as well, where, you know, snow is kind of on the rare side. So yeah. I have enjoyed those as well, but I do love the whole nine yards, the tobogganing party, building snowmen, going snowshoeing, getting a Christmas tree in the snow, all of these, you know, needing the hot chocolate or the hot apple cider to warm you up after all this cold stuff. So to me, that's a really fun part of a lot of Christmas stories. Oh, and the Christmas baking, did I mention? And the children's Christmas concert. I love having those in stories as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're fun.
I could do without those in stories and without those in real life.
Oh, so cute. I love them.
So what does hot apple cider taste like? I have never had hot apple cider. I have no idea what you're talking about when you say that.
If you've ever had unfiltered apple juice and you warm it up, so it's a little thicker than like apple juice. It's almost like if you pureed an apple and then watered it down and then warmed it up.
So it's kind of
added cinnamon and
cloves. And you got to add cinnamon and cloves and nutmeg.
So it's okay. So it's kind of like eating stewed apple, but not having it as thick as stewed apple. Kind of.
No.
That's as close as I'm going to be able to get.
All right. Well, one day I'll have to come to the States or go to Canada and I'll try it. Yes. Yeah.
So for me, the snow thing, I would love to have snow. We don't have that around here either. It's almost always in the 60s in Fahrenheit, obviously. We don't live on the surface of the sun. So, I mean, it's long sleeves, but it's not cold usually. And we might get one snow a year in mid to late January. And only the kids love it. Anybody who has to drive in it hates it because nobody remembers how. So that's not a necessity for me for Christmas books. For me, with Christmas romance, because I tend to buy Christmas romance, I need Jesus to be a big part of the Christmas part of it, which I guess, you know, I should like the children's manger things to make that happen, but I don't love those. But that's what I look for, really, is I want Jesus. I want to focus on, I mean, you can still have Santa and snow and presents and all that, but I want there to be a really strong pull back to Jesus's birthday for me.
I hear you on that. I guess for me, I would say it's one of those things that it goes without saying, except that it doesn't, right? Because Inspire Romance represents Christian contemporary romance. So some of our authors do also write or lean towards like a clean and wholesome or just a sweeter, but with less Jesus in it, but still
not bad.
Good. Exactly. So I look for that I look for Jesus in every book that I read, really, unless I know for sure it's not going to be in there. But yeah, it is nice, refreshing, heartwarming, all those things to see that aspect just like fully embraced and taught to the children if there are children in the story, or discussed between the hero and heroine, and just remembering to point each other to the Lord is always important.
All right, so this year, we should be well into Christmas book reading time. Do you have one or two that you have read that you want to recommend to our listeners who should also probably be well into their Christmas book reading right now? Narelle, do you have any recommendations?
Well, I have a confession. I haven't started my Christmas reading yet.
Uh-oh. A confession?
I'm that person.
A confession is not the same thing as a recommendation, hun. I just thought I'd...
I know. So I'm going to pass and listen to what you guys have to say. I have books in my Kindle. Okay. I just have not had time to actually start my reading. And to be fair, it is still November when we're filming this. And I'll be December when it goes live. So my apologies for not being organized on that. But I will be reading soon and I will listen to your recommendations to work out what in my TBR list I should actually bump to the top.
All right, Valerie, what about you?
I have read several. So excuse me while I look down at my Kindle app. The one that probably stands out the most so far is one I just finished a couple days ago, and that's Kimberly Ray Jordan's Once Upon a Silent Night. So it's part of a series. It's what, book five?
It's 4.5.
4.5. Well, there you go. I knew there was a five in there somewhere. Or it could otherwise be known as five, I guess. Yeah. So that one is probably the one that I've enjoyed the most so far this year. Just seeing a character that we've met in a previous book and seeing the growth that he's made in the Lord since that, and then the fact that their church stays open for 24 hours a day, the whole month of December, I think, and he volunteers to do the night shift just in case somebody might need a place to come in, and then how things develop from there. Yeah. Because she does come in and she does need a place, a safe place to be. So I've been really enjoying that one. I just finished it a couple days ago.
So. That's a fantastic one. I read that the day that it dropped. The whole premise, the whole setup, it's fantastic.
There you go, Narelle. There's your recommendation.
Yes, okay. Definitely need that one.
Yeah. Do I need to read books 1 to 4 first? Or no. Could I jump into the novella?
You can jump in because he's a minor enough character. In the first books in the series, that it's not going to harm you to jump in with him.
Excellent. Okay, I'll go to Kindle and go and buy that soon.
Right. So this is so funny. When we talked about doing Christmas books, I was the one going, I don't usually read a whole lot of them. I have read more than all of you.
Well, I've read quite a few.
Well, you do your homework better than me. Maybe it's a better...
So the Kimberly Ray Jordan book that Valerie mentioned is fabulous, and that was on my list. I also have been reading and really, really enjoying the Heroes of Freedom Ridge series, which is a multi-author series. Several are INSB romance authors. Mandy Blake wrote the first one, which is rescued by the hero. Lewin Ho has one. Tara Grace Erickson will do the last one. I think it might be out the week this podcast publishes. So right around the end, you know, mid-December, right before Christmas. Hannah Jo Abbott did one.
I don't have any of those. I don't think I do on my Kindle.
Oh, they're fantastic. And they're all something either by the hero or with the hero. And they have this Freedom Ridge, Colorado, that they set up as a town, a small town. It's a tourist skiing town. And so it's set primarily at the Freedom Ridge Lodge. And some of the characters are coming into town for skiing at Christmas. Others are the people that live in Freedom Ridge. And they have the Christmas tree lighting ceremony to kick off the season and all this kind of, it's just really fun. Small town Christmas, good faith message all the way through, not necessarily about Jesus's birth particularly, but still really good faith message all the way through, which I love in each of them. Nice spiritual arc to the characters. And it's just fun to see because they also, there's six authors, and they sort of split it out into years. So like the first two are year one, and then the next two are year two. And so the characters from the first two books are progressed in their relationships, so you can catch up with them, as opposed to them all being the same year, where it's a little weird. So I really like that too. You're starting to see, you know, the first couple is engaged, as opposed, because they are novellas, so they don't necessarily end with an engagement, which to me, if you can't do that naturally, like if you just met and you're only together for 3 weeks, it probably should not end with an engagement in real life or in your book. So it's possible, but unlikely. So I'm really enjoying that series. And then I also read Courtney Walsh's Christmas book. And I'm drawing an absolute blank. It just came out. It's set in Nantucket. And it's all over Instagram. Honestly, that is why I grabbed it. I tend to like Courtney's books. I'm going to see if I can still find it. Sorry, now I'm looking at my Kindle. But,
well, I have the Heroes books you were talking about, the Rescued by the Heroes book, in my Kindle. So I actually don't have to go and buy those. Woo-hoo. So yes, I'm going to go hunt that series down while you go and look for this one.
I think I already returned it to Kindle Unlimited. And so I don't think it shows then and my phone is charging, so I can't look it up. But sorry, Courtney Walsh's, it's in Nantucket. It's all over social media, so you probably have not missed it. But it's really cute. It is a friends to lovers, and they've been like best friends for forever. And so they're both terrified to change the relationship, even though they're both desperately in love with the other, which I think that's fun when it's done well. And in this case, Courtney really did it very well.
That's good.
Is it a match made at Christmas?
That's the one. A Match Made at Christmas.
And there's Courtney with her book.
Yeah. it's really, really cute. It was a short read for me, but I read really fast, so I have no concept of how long it actually is. But I read it in probably a day and a half. Please don't hate me if you read it and it took you 2 weeks, because I read fast. I know I read fast. But it's really cute. I will say, does not have a super duper strong faith arc. There's hints, you know, that there's hints there, but it's not like bang you in the head, Jesus was born. So, which I love bang you in the head, Jesus was born. But, you know, I can love a sweet, and this was definitely much more on the sweet side. But it was still really good and worth a read for sure.
Cool.
I think that different setups, Christmas or otherwise, some of the places where characters come from and so forth, it needs that just for the story to progress. It needs a very, very strong, this is Jesus, this is what he did for you kind of thing. And other characters and setups, they're in a different place. So I think that would be true. I know that in my books that it varies a little bit. It's, I think, usually very strong, but I know that some are a little lighter than others just because of where the characters come from.
And I mean, I think that makes sense. That's natural for sure.
You don't want the same story over and over again with just different names.
No. No. All right. So does that wrap up books? Should we transition to movies?
Yes.
Sure.
Before we use all of our time on books. So Christmas movies. We've got the Hallmark Christmas movies. We've got Netflix. I think Lifetime does Christmas movies also now. Amazon Prime has some just for Amazon Prime Christmas movies out there. Everybody's doing the Christmas movie thing now. Do you guys watch The Holderness Family on YouTube? They do little funny songs and stuff.
I do enjoy them, but I haven't ever gone searching them all down.
Go look for, they just released either two or three about every Hallmark movie ever, and they're hilarious.
I saw one of them. There's more? Oh, that was so funny. I just, you know, sometimes you type into social media, LOL, and you're just like almost not even smiling a little bit. Yeah, that was, I was like holding my gut laughing. Yeah,
they're hilarious. So I know, Valerie, have you done any Christmas movie watching?
This year, no.
This year, no. Last okay. year,
maybe two, which I can't remember, except one was really lame. I think I'm just going to like listen to you guys talk about it. And then if it's on Netflix, and Netflix Canada is not always the same as Netflix USA, I should go find a couple to watch. So tell me what to watch.
All right, well, I've only watched two, and I know Narelle has like a phone screen full. So I'm going to just hit my two really fast and then turn it over to the expert.
Keep it to a, you know, no more than four or five, Narelle.
I can do the thing. No. I can do this fine. It's all good.
So I watched Midnight at the Magnolia, which I guess probably technically doesn't count as a Christmas movie because it starts the day after Christmas and is more about New Year's Eve, but I'm calling it the same because it's got that same vibe. And it's adorable. It's on Netflix is where I watched it, I believe. And it's best friends. They've been best friends forever. They co-host a radio show, a morning radio show. And it's a fake relationship. Their boss needs them to introduce their significant others to the family at the New Year's Eve party. And because they've made this big thing on the radio about how you have to be at a certain point in your relationship before you introduce them at Christmas. But they both get broken up with. So they concoct this whole fake relationship between the two of them. And it's just really fun. It's super fun and cute.
That does sound fun.
Yeah. And then the other one I watched is Holidate, which is on Netflix. Now, it needs a content warning. Midnight at Magnolia is perfectly clean. If your kids come in the room, it's not a problem. If they're my kids, mine are boys, they're going to go, "Ew, mom, they're kissing." But that's it. You know, it's fine. Holidate is not, it's probably PG-13, but I was like, I don't watch stuff with this kind of stuff in it all that often. So there's definitely innuendo. There's some compromising situations. There's some wearing underwear and only underwear in there. I know. So, but it's not, certainly not Christian and also not necessarily clean, but it's super cute. This girl and this guy that she just like bumps into at the mall agree to be the significant other date to all the holidays. So just to like get their parents off their back. Even though they're not really even friends. They don't have any kind of relationship. And of course, as you would imagine, feelings develop, but it's the coming and going. And so it covers like all the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, and all sorts of things, even 4th of July, but it's fun. And, but you know, use your discretion with your children coming in the room possibly with that one, because it's not as family friendly as Midnight at the Magnolia. Those are my two. All right, Narelle, let's get our list ready.
Well, you and I both have picked the same movie.
Oh, fun.
Holiday. And it is not PG. It's rated M in Australia, which is probably 15 plus. Okay. And my teen daughter was in the room, my husband and I watching it, and my husband's like, "Oh, I don't know about this." But it's more innuendo rather than actually seeing anything on the screen. But I just thought it was hilarious, particularly the dirty dancing scene.
Yes.
I watched that three times because it was so funny. And you know you found a good movie when you watch that scene. It's like, I've got to watch that again because that was so good. So all the comic, the rom-com beats were all there. All the feels were in that movie, and I just thought it was great. So that was one of my picks, and that was from Netflix. So this is, the other ones I like are the princess, the king, the queen, the princess movies for Christmas.
Yeah.
So this is my screen from Australia with all the Christmas. Yeah.
So for Netflix. Those of you who are only listening to the podcast and not watching on YouTube, Narelle just picked up her phone and showed us like 12 little images. We're going to limit her to talking about a couple more of them, and they mentioning them by name.
No, I'm not. Well, this is what will come if you put a Christmas Prince into Netflix and search for it in Australia. These are all the movies that will come up. So there's a lot of them. So I really enjoy that fish out of water storyline with the Christmas ones. I think that's really fun. And we also have, what else did I pick? This is the one my husband and I also liked, Christmas in Evergreen. So this is Hallmark. Now, we don't get the Hallmark channel in Australia, which is very, very sad, because Hallmark would make a lot of money off me if they had a subscription service here. So if Hallmark, if you're listening, please bring Hallmark to Australia. We'll give you lots of money to watch it. And so the Christmas in Evergreen, the first one, we really enjoyed that. It was set in Vermont, but I believe they're all filmed in Canada. And the heroine was a vet who was ended up at the airport. They got snowed in, met the widower who has a son, and the town has this magical snow globe and where you can actually grant Christmas wishes. And so it was just a really fun concept and just really, it's a kid friendly one. And that was just great. So they've actually got more that have come out, but I haven't been able to watch them because I can't get them. So I'll have to go hunting on YouTube to see if they're available somewhere there, because we don't have the Hallmark channel. And the other one is a movie I haven't watched yet, and I will guess it's probably not PG, but it's an Australian Christmas movie, and it's called A Sunburnt Christmas, and it'll be coming out on the 11th of December. And from the looks of the trailer, it's very Aussie. So when I say that, the Aussie sense of humour is quite dry and quite different to American humour and British humour. So I really enjoy British humour, but Australians, it's very unique and very different. It's set in the outback. So if you're interested in Australia and outback stuff, it's on Stan, which is a streaming service we have in Australia. I'm not sure who would be picking it up overseas, but I'm looking forward to watching that on the 11th of December.
That sounds fun. I'm going to look for that.
Cool.
That sounds really fun.
Or warm, as the case may be.
Right, or warm, yeah. All right, do you have any holiday classic Christmas romances that you go back to every year? Like, I watch While You Were Sleeping every Christmas. That is probably my favorite, like, long-lasting. Every year I have to watch While You Were Sleeping. And then if I can find it, and now you told me it's on YouTube, Narelle, so that makes me happy. The Christmas Card is an old Hallmark movie that I absolutely have loved. I think maybe because of the army aspect, it ties in with a serviceman, and I love that whole thing. If you love watching, like, army reunions, family reunions, with all the army sap of dad coming home from deployment, or mom, it's got sort of that same homecoming vibe to it, which I love.
Does those Charlie Brown's Christmas count?
Does which?
Charlie Brown?
Sure. It's not a romance, but it's a must watch for sure.
Well, I really enjoyed A Christmas Card when I watched it on YouTube. I think what was good about it is most Christmas movies that I watch don't tend to have a lot of Christian content in them, or don't really sort of head in that direction. Whereas A Christmas Card had some Jesus in it, which was nice to see as a change from what I've been normally watching.
Yes. I mean, I watch White Christmas every year also, which is a Christmas romance. And it, like, I don't think it gets better than Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. It just, I mean, they're a classic for a reason. So, and then Rosemary Clooney. I love White Christmas. My boys are like, are you watching that again? And I'm like, I am. I am. I'm sorry. You don't have to watch with me, but I am. I'm going to watch it right now. So, do you have any others that you watch?
I'll go with whatever I can find. So as I said, we haven't got the Hallmark channel where you can go and find a favorite. I'm trying not to buy DVDs. I was having a look at the Black Friday sales and looking at Hallmark and thinking, oh, do I really want to spend the money on that? Because I've got to store it somewhere. Yeah. So I will tend to go back and just depends on how I feel. I might go look for something I've watched before. Often there's so much new content out there that I'll just sit down and watch the new ones. Yeah, try something new, see what I find.
Fun one on Netflix last year that I would actually love to try and find again this year. And now, I mean, I don't know why I started, because I knew I wasn't going to come up with the title, but It was like a Christmas, they had an Advent house, and when you opened the doors on the Advent house, little magical things happened, and it was pushing like two best friends together. It was really cute. If you have Instagram, and I shouldn't necessarily plug her because she's not an Instagram romance author, but you should follow Courtney Walsh and watch her stories, because she watches Christmas movies in her stories and like critiques the acting. Courtney Walsh, they and her husband run like a kids theater company. So she actually has acting education, like she knows wherein she speaks, as opposed to those of us who are like, that didn't seem realistic. She can tell you why. But her stories are hilarious. So most of the other Christmas movies that I've been watching are actually just in Courtney's stories. So that's fun. If you have Instagram, you should watch those because they're very amusing.
Yeah, they sound good.
So they're fun. All right. Let's quickly, because we're getting close to our time here, possibly over it. But since we are also authors, do you love writing Christmas books? And do you have a favorite of yours that you have written then? And then when do you write them? Like, do you write them at Christmas to go out next year? Or do you find a way to write them in July? Anybody?
I have written 6 Christmas novels or novellas, stories. They have been written at all times of year. I wrote one in February, March, which was kind of nice because it was still winter here in Western Canada. So it was a little easier to get into the feel. I have written them in the summer more often than I most of them, probably over half of them, were written in like July and August. And the one that is coming out just this week, I wrote in September and October. So I do love writing them, obviously, or I wouldn't keep doing it to myself. I don't know which is my favorite. It's like asking which is my favorite grandchild, you know? So I'm not going to go there. They all have a special part, and fit into their series just you know, perfectly, of course.
Okay. Well, I've only ever written one Christmas book, which was Seaside Christmas, set in Sydney in summer. So I haven't done the snow thing yet. One day I will. And that was fun to write, particularly because Sydney is very well known for New Year's Eve with the fireworks around the harbour and things like that. So it was good to be able to incorporate those kind of elements in the story. But I like writing in season, and usually I end up writing everything at the wrong time of year. So it's really hot and I'm writing something cold, or vice versa. So at the moment I'm actually writing a short story that will be like an epilogue to Solo 2 from A Tuscan Legacy that's set in Italy, and that's going to be a Christmas wedding short story. So I'm having fun with that, and I'm actually writing in the wrong weather, of course, but at least it's the right time of year.
That's very cool. I love Seaside Christmas. That's,
yes, maybe, I enjoy that.
That's maybe my favorite book of yours.
Cool.
I think it might be. I really like the other, that's part of a series, right? There's I'm terrible with titles. There's a bridesmaid one and I really like that one as well.
I need to get my books organized. I've got to get my backlist out. It's actually on my list for 2021, is to pray, God willing, I can actually get myself organized to get all my backlist out and to actually get my books into some kind of order and get new covers and things like that.
All the details.
Cool. Yeah.
So I have some Christmas books. I have three. I can choose my favorite, actually. My favorite of mine is Pathway to Peace. It is a novella, and it ended up being sort of the fifth book of my first series. And so in that series, the main part of the series is a trilogy. And in the second book, we meet a teenager named Lindsay, who is going through an unplanned pregnancy. And so Pathway to Peace is several years down the road, and it's Lindsay's chance at a happy ending. And it has lots of fun little nods to You've Got Mail, which is another of my favorite books. So like he sends her a bouquet of freshly sharpened pencils. So it's kind of fun, and it's I just really like that one.
The like other two as well.
Yeah, the other two are fine. They're fun. As I only have three, you can tell I do not seek out opportunities to write Christmas books. I don't dislike them. I mean, it never seems to work in my calendar for the series to need a Christmas book. So I have several books that go over Christmas, mm-hmm. but they're not Christmas books. They, you know, they might include Christmas, but they're not.
I have a couple like that as well. But 2019 was the first year that I did not have a Christmas story come out since I started writing. So I'm happy that I've got one again this year. I missed it. It's terrible.
And it's a fun one. Cadence of Cranberries, since Valerie's not going to promote her own book, Cadence of Cranberries is, what number is it in the Urban Farm Fresh?
10.
10. Now, I will say, if that scares you, I feel like you could read it without having read the other 9 books, because Winnie, who is the heroine, is not a super huge part of all of the other books. I mean, she's been around, so you certainly, you know, you would know her, but you're not missing a ton. And Valerie always does a good job, I think, of including enough background information that if you do pick up one of her books in series without it being the first, you're okay. She fills you in on the important part. I often fail that, and people are like, should I know this? I'm like, probably. I probably should have mentioned that. Sorry. We'd love to hear your Christmas book thoughts, recommendations. You can come to our Facebook page for either Inspi Romance or for Story Chats. We have a Facebook page for that as well. You can find all the ways to listen to Story Chats at Inspi Romance if you go to inspiromance.com/storychats or click on the podcast link on the main menu. And if you're watching on YouTube, please hit subscribe, because we really would like to get our channel name something more fun. So we'd like to get that. Also, you don't want to miss an episode. I mean, it's not all about us. We also don't want you to miss an episode. And if you subscribe, you won't. You'll get a notification. Thanks so much for joining us at Story Chats. We'll see you next week. So meanwhile, make sure you take some time to fall in love with a good book. See you guys.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes. Merry Christmas.